Okay, we are in the Gospel of John, and tonight we are in the Gospel of John, chapter 8. So, we're going to start with the last verse of the 7th chapter. You'll see why in just a minute. So, each one went to his house. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. At dawn, he went to the temple complex again, and all the people were coming to him. He sat down and began to teach them. Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman caught in adultery, making her stand in the center. "Teacher," they said to him, "this woman was caught in the act of committing adultery. And the law of Moses commands us to stone such women. So what do you say?" They asked him this to trap him in order that they might have evidence to accuse him. Jesus stooped down and started writing on the ground with his finger. When they persisted in questioning him, he stood up and said to them, "The one without sin among you should be the first to throw a stone at her." Then he stooped down again and continued writing on the ground. When they heard this, they left one by one, starting with the older men. Only he was left with the woman in the center. When Jesus stood up, he said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, Lord," she answered. "Neither do I condemn you," Jesus said. "Go, and from now on, do not sin anymore." Then Jesus spoke to them again. "I am the light of the world. Anyone who follows me will never walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life." So the Pharisees said to him, You're testifying about yourself. Your testimony is not valid." "Even if I testify about myself," Jesus replied, "my testimony is valid, because I know where I came from and where I'm going. But you don't know where I'm from or where I'm going. You judge by human standards. I judge no one. And if I do judge, my judgment is true, because I'm not alone. But I and the Father who sent me judge together. Even in the law, it is written that the witness of two men is valid. I am the one who testifies about myself, and the Father who sent me testifies about me." Then they asked him, "Where's your Father?" "You know neither me nor my Father," Jesus answered. "If you knew me, you would also know my Father." He spoke these words by the treasury while teaching in the temple complex, but no one seized him because his hour had not come. Then he said to them again, "I'm going away. You will look for me, but you will die in your sin. Where I'm going, you cannot come." So the Jews said again, "He won't kill himself, will he? Since he says, 'Where I'm going, you can't come.'" "You are from below," he told them. "I am from above. You are of this world. I'm not of this world. Therefore, I told you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." "Who are you?" they questioned. "Precisely what I've been telling you from the very beginning," Jesus told them. "I have many things to say and to judge about you, but the one who sent me is true. And what I have heard from him, these things I tell the world." They do not know he was speaking to them about the Father. So Jesus said to them, "When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own. But just as the Father taught me, I say these things. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, because I always do what pleases him." As he was saying these things, many believed in him. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you continue in my word, you really are my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." "We're descendants of Abraham," they answered him, "and we have never been enslaved to anyone. How can you say you will become free?" Jesus responded, "I assure you, everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. A slave does not remain in the household forever, but a son does remain forever. Therefore, if the Son sets you free, you really will be free. I know you're descendants of Abraham, but you try to kill me because my word is not welcome among you. I speak what I've seen in the presence of the Father. Therefore, you do what you have heard from your father. Our father is Abraham, they replied. If you were Abraham's children, Jesus told them, you would do what Abraham did. But now you're trying to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You're doing what your father does. We weren't born of sexual immorality, they said. We have one father, God. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, because I came from God and I'm here. For I didn't come on my own, but he sent me. Why don't you understand what I say? Because you cannot listen to my word. You are of your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and has not stood in the truth because there's no truth in him. When he tells a lie, he speaks from his own nature because he's a liar and the father of liars. Yet because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Who among you can convict me of sin? If I tell the truth, why don't you believe me? The one who is from God listens to God's words. This is why you don't listen, because you're not from God. The Jews responded to him, aren't we right in saying that you're a Samaritan and have a demon? I do not have a demon, Jesus answered. On the contrary, I honor my Father and you dishonor me. I do not seek my own glory. The one who seeks it also judges. I assure you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death, ever. Then the Jews said, now we know you have a demon. Abraham died and so did the prophets. You say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death, ever. Are you greater than our father Abraham who died? Even the prophets died. Who do you pretend to be? If I glorify myself, Jesus answered, my glory is nothing. My Father, you say about him, he's our God. He is the one who glorifies me. You've never known him, but I know him. If I were to say I don't know him, I'd be a liar like you. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Your father Abraham was overjoyed that he would see my day. He saw it and rejoiced. The Jews replied, you aren't 50 years old yet, and yet you've seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, I assure you, before Abraham was, I am. At that, they picked up stones to throw at him. But Jesus was hidden and went out of the temple complex. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. Help us to understand it. This is a complex passage, Lord, but it is so rich. Help us to learn from it and to get closer to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the background on this is that 753 through 811 is thought to be a later addition. It begins following the chapter 7 events. Verse 12 then picks up where chapter 7 actually ended. So we look at the woman caught in adultery, and it says, of course, that everybody went home. Jesus went up the Mount of Olives and he was praying. Then he came back down and he went into the temple. So they bring this woman caught in adultery. Now the first thought we have here is, where is the man? The Mosaic law clearly states you're supposed to stone both of them. The only time you don't stone both of them is if it can be shown that the woman was fighting and trying not to. Or they actually make an allowance for if she was out in the country and there was no one around to hear it, then we have to give her the benefit of doubt and assume that she screamed and tried to fight it off. But at any rate, no mention of the man. So is this a setup? Have they set this up just so they can have this woman to bring to him and to try to get him to say things that are going to get him in trouble with the Romans. They start out by quoting the letter of the law, sort of. Like I say, they never mentioned a man in this. And then Jesus sits down and he begins writing in the dust. And it has been postulated that it may be that he was actually listing sins, writing down possible sins. Being the Son of God, he probably could just look around and know what sins these people had committed. So he then, in the midst of all this, stands up and declares the spirit of the law. Okay, if there's anybody here who doesn't have any sin, then you cast the first stone and get this whole thing started. Now, one of the things that has been pointed out repeatedly is that there was somebody there who could have thrown the first stone. Jesus was without sin. And when I say let he who was without sin cast the first stone, he could have done it. But he didn't. So then he keeps writing more sins, more sins. And so everybody starts leaving. And when they're gone, he says, is there nobody left to accuse you? And she says, nobody but you. And he says, then I don't accuse you either. Go and don't sin anymore. Then he gets in to the part about being the light of the world. Now you will remember back in Chapter 3, Jesus was talking about the fact that he had come into the world to bring light into the world, but people hate that because they prefer darkness because their deeds are evil. One of the things is that we are in the midst of the festival of Sukkot, and they have huge oil lamps. These are like big urns that have just gallons upon gallons upon gallons of oil in them. And they actually take old, worn-out priestly vestments and they stuff it down in there and use them as wicks so that when they set them off, the fire is just huge and there's lots of them all around the temple. So Jesus says he's the light of the world in the middle of all of these lights. Light is the symbol of God, and Jesus is the light. So the Pharisees, who are well known for always trying to slither out of things, try to change the subject. Well, you need witnesses. You're testifying for yourself. You need witnesses. And Jesus says God is his witness. God is testifying for him. Then he predicts his departure. And they think he's considering suicide. What, is this guy going to go kill himself just because he tells us we can't come where he's going? And he says when he is lifted up, which is what crucifixion is, he will be lifted up off the ground. Then they will see his connection. And in other places, he had actually talked about the fact that just like the snake in the Torah, in the Old Testament, had been lifted up so they could look at the thing that was killing them and they would be healed. Jesus is lifted up and takes all the sin that ever was, that was then, or ever would be upon himself. And they were able to look upon their sin upon the cross. And by believing on him, it would all go away. He would take it for them. So then we get into truth and freedom. If they believe, they see the truth, and they're free. They say, well, we don't need to be made free. We've never been slaves. Jesus says, yes, you are. You're a slave to sin. And they said, and then he tells them, you're not like Abraham. Abraham did whatever God told him to do. When Abraham was told by God to take his son out and sacrifice him to God, he just set off to do it. God said, no, no, I just wanted to see if you'd do it. And you did. And so, don't kill him. And then he tells them that they're actually following the devil. And boy, that really didn't set well, you can imagine. And then they come to the end and they really get crazy because he makes a statement to say that he knew Abraham. And in saying it, he says, when Abraham was, I am. And I am is the symbol of God. That's God's name as they see it. And so they're thinking, no, wrong. You can't say that. You cannot be I am. So what does this all mean to us? Well, first of all, we follow the spirit of the law and the gospel. There are things that are set in stone, and God says, don't allow any of this to get by you. Okay? There's stuff going on right now that God would say, I want you to take these people out. They just are refusing to live by my rules. And they're doing things that are so abominable, we have to get rid of them. Now, some of it we can't because we would be violating man's laws. God is seriously opposed to homosexuality. We, on the other hand, look at it and say, love the sinner, but not the sin, and let's see if we can lead this person to Christ. We do the best that we can do. For instance, abortion. We have to strenuously oppose abortion because this is murdering the most defenseless amongst us. And God is saying, no, I'm not going to put up with this much longer. God will lead if you will follow. That's what Jesus was telling these people. If you will follow me, I will take you in the right direction. If you will do what I tell you to do and be what I tell you to be, you will have everlasting life and you'll be right with God. But you have to understand that you're a sinner and you need to be reconciled to God. He is the very light of our way. He shows us where to go. If you look in Psalm 119, I think it's 11, it says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet. It shows me the way. I can look down and I can see the path. I'm not wandering about and just kind of struggling to figure out which way to go. We are supposed to be holding up Jesus so others can see the way. He's the light, and when we hold up Jesus and say, this is your standard, you need to give your life to Jesus. You need to follow him and become like him. That is God's way. And we are all slaves to sin. No way around it. That's the way humans are. We are in our flesh, and that makes us slaves to sin. Paul says, I'm a miserable man because what I want to do, I don't do, and what I don't want to do, I do, and what am I going to do about this? Praise be to God who has forgiven me. Jesus sets us free, even though we're all slaves to sin. Now, we may have to keep going back and saying, hey, I got snatched up again. I need you to set me free again. But as long as we remember that we're a slave to sin and that Jesus can set us free, we can keep going back as often as we need to. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we've been here tonight. We'd ask you to bless us and guide us and go with us. Help us to be good servants. Help all this COVID stuff to get over. Help everything to go right. And Lord, we pray that we will have honest elections and that the person you want to be the president will be elected. We know that if we've been bad enough, you may give us a really bad president. Then again, if we turn our lives to you, you may give us a really, really good president, which I believe we have right now. Go with us throughout our lives. Make us more and more like you. And make this church a light in this area, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for being here, guys.